Amen. You may be seated. Man, that was awesome. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're making all things beautiful? Man. Oh, that's a sermon in itself, and I can just sit down. But I'm not going to. So, we're finishing up our final parable in our sermon series titled Subversive Stories. And what we've been doing the last 7 weeks, this is the seventh week of this, is we've been going through these parables of Jesus, stories that Jesus told in first century Galilee, and looking at them and what it means in their historical context, how the hearers would have heard them, and how they might be speaking to us. And this is our final one, and part of me is glad, because these are hard. They're subversive for a reason. Oftentimes they go in one particular direction, and you think you know how the story's going to happen, and then it flips, and it shifts, and it blows you out of the water, and it really reframes how you think about the story, how you think about yourself, how you think about others, and how you think about God. And I've got to be honest, I told you from the very beginning that these parables are kind of like mirrors for you, and they show all sides of you, the good sides, the things in which you're doing well, and the shadow sides, the things in which you need to improve about. And these things, they keep showing me stuff about myself that I don't want to see. You know, when you look in the mirror and you like, you see this here or this here, and you're like, no. That's what these parables are doing to me. And they keep working on me. And some of these parables that we've gone through from the very beginning are still deep in my bones. And they continue to work on us. So as we end this sermon series, I hope these parables show you a little bit more about yourself, even the things you don't want to see. And might they go into your very bones and teach you a little bit more about how you might read Scripture, how you might understand parables, and what they might do to you. So, today, we're going to be talking about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Is that a good one or bad one? Good one. Oh, it is a good one. This has been messing with me. And normally what we've been doing throughout this series is we've been reading this three times in its fullness, and we've been meditating upon it after each time we do a certain thing. Today we're going to do it a little differently because I'm going to give you a little bit of first century history of what's going on, what these characters are in first century Galilee, because you can't read the parable and just automatically assume you know what's going on. Jesus is saying this in first century in Galilee to particular people in a particular time. And our preconceived notions sometimes get in the way of the true meaning of the parable. So I'm going to read one short bit of it, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about first century Palestine. And then in the middle, we're going to be reading through it and do a meditative practice with it. And then at the end, I'm going to wrap the whole thing up and talk about what it means to be a Pharisee or a tax collector. Okay? Sound good? For those of you type A people, that was for you. Type B people, we're just going with the flow. So, here's the beginning of the parable. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, we have our own ideas about what a Pharisee is and what a tax collector is, right? You learn about it in VBS, you learn about it in Sunday school, you probably heard about it in church, you've heard about it in sermons. You have your preconceived notion about who a Pharisee is and who a tax collector is. And I want to see what those are. So everybody, when you came in, you should have picked up one of these things. Let's say good on one side and bad on the other. Does everybody have one? If you do not have one, raise your hand. I've got a bunch of extra copies. Who doesn't have one of these? Okay, a couple over here. This is an interactive sermon today, like most sermons, but I'll give you a couple. So if you need any extras, Janelle has them here. Everybody else have one? We got a couple over here. Need a couple? Here you go. Oops, sorry. Here's a few. I printed out a bunch. All right, here we go. All right. Does everybody have one? Yes. Everybody needs one of these pieces of paper. So what I'm going to ask you is what do you think of the Pharisee? And you get to hold up either good or bad, okay? So when you think about the term Pharisee and the person of a Pharisee, what do you think? Are they good or bad? No, there's no right or wrong answer. Some split decisions here. Split decisions, bad in the back, bad over here. Couple good, couple bad. Good and bad. They try. They do try. Some good. Hold up a little higher. Let's see. I want to see. Bad, good. Okay. Good. There's a couple. This is like a corner of just these Pharisees are terrible people. Okay. I don't know what that means. Maybe both. No, sorry. This is not like you're asking somebody on a date. Check yes or no. And maybe you can't make up your own. Bad. Okay. You can put them down. So we oftentimes, more often than not, we think of the Pharisees like these guys. They're manipulative. They are conniving. They're deceivers. They're the ones that put Jesus to death. I think that's a lot of you when you said they're bad, this is oftentimes the image you have, right? But sometimes when we think about a tax collector, we think about the good guys, right? They have redemption. They have healing. Does anybody know the story? Who is it? Zacchaeus. Yes, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a, yeah, no, you got it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and he was a tax collector. And we think that they are the good characters, right? They have redemption. He goes and has dinner with Jesus. That's our often understanding of Pharisees. The Pharisees are good, or the Pharisees are bad, and the tax collectors are good. Or sorry, tax collectors are bad. I'm sorry. Tax collectors are bad. No. Well, you guys are confused. You guys think they are. So, but I think a lot of times we think Pharisees are the bad people. They look like that. Or the tax collectors are sometimes good. They have this redemptive quality. Well, I'm going to give you a little idea about who's who and who's what. So in first century, when you have a Pharisee is the person that understands all of Torah. A lot of times you didn't have books that were at home and things. You would have the one scroll that would have all of Torah on it. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And these Pharisees, they wouldn't have this readily available. So they would memorize the entire thing. So they could just repeat it word for word, phrase for phrase. And they are known as the religious authority in this time period. And a lot of people in that time period thought them as good. They were the good people. They were the good guys. They lived righteous. They were the priests of the time. They were the ones that walked the walk and talked the talk. Now, if you don't believe me, I want to give you a writer. This is from Josephus. He was a first century writer. And this is what he said about the Pharisees, that they're able to persuade the body of the people, and whatsoever they do about divine worship, prayers, and sacrifice, they perform them according to their direction, insomuch that the cities gave great attestations to them on account of their entire virtuous conduct. They were known in their particular cities to be good people of virtuous conduct, both in the actions of their lives and their discourses also. They were known to walk the walk and talk the talk. Many people in their city said, these are the good people. They give to the poor. They are the caring people. A lot of times Pharisees are seen as good people, even though sometimes we give them a bad rap. In the first century, if you're reading a story about a Pharisee, odds are it's going to be a good story. Even in the rest of the Gospel of Luke, Pharisees are considered good. The Pharisees invite Jesus to dinner with them. Now, if you didn't like Jesus and you wanted to kill him, you probably wouldn't invite him to dinner. They do it twice in the Gospel of Luke. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And even in Luke 11, when Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him, so he went in and reclined at the table. These Pharisees wanted to learn from Jesus. They were inquisitive about, what are you talking? They saw him as a rabbi, so they could learn from him. But even later on in Luke, they warn Jesus that Herod is trying to kill him. Then some Pharisees arrive to tell him, Jesus, you must get right away from here, for Herod intends to kill you. Now, if you want Jesus dead, you're not going to warn him that Herod's on his way. If you're a bad guy, you're just going to say, yeah, just let them take care of it. But they warned him. So maybe the Pharisees are the good guys. And maybe the tax collectors are these guys. Now, the tax collectors are Jewish individuals that are working for the Roman government. And the Roman government is taking a bunch of money from the local congregation. And they would tax you up to 35-40%. And that's just the larger government. The city government would charge you 40-45% as well. So a lot of people who are taxed are only keeping about 10% of their actual profits. That's craziness. And they're going to see the tax collector as the guy that takes more and more money in. Now, the tax collector oftentimes would give somebody a loan, give somebody something, and charge them a ridiculous amount of interest that they are never able to repay. So they're just continue to pay on the interest, and never get out of debt. And the local community would know this. So they would be accusing the tax collector of being rich, wealthy, unfair, unjust. And they're seen as just dirty money. They're seen as the dirty people. Tax collectors are considered dirty. So, we're going to have another scorecard time. I don't know if I convinced you, but I want to see. What do you think about the Pharisees now, after knowing a little bit? Do you think the Pharisees are good or bad? You can disagree with me. It's okay. Maybe. Okay, I did a little bit. A couple. Okay, still bad. Some good. Okay. Did you guys switch? Okay, no, you guys. Okay. I thought you guys just rotated. Okay, we got a couple good, one more bad. Okay, some more good. Okay, I guess I did an okay job. We got a few good. Okay, put them down. Another scorecard time. What about the tax collector? Is the tax collector good or bad? Bad. Oh, yeah. I did a really good job on this side. Okay, we have one, a couple good. How funny. Okay. That's really funny. Okay. So hold on, Mom. I can't take that seriously. Okay, we got bad. Yeah, that's true. All right, bad. Oh, yeah, okay, these two sections I did a really good job on. The sender's kind of a little wishy-washy. Okay, so you can keep putting your cards down. We're going to put them down. You can put them on the floor if you want. We're going to use them in a little bit. I can't help. The IRS? That's too funny. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to read the whole parable for you. I'm going to read the whole parable for you three different times. After the first time, I just want you to get the details. It's a shorter parable, 5-6 verses. Get the details. I'm going to give you 10 seconds after I read it to get the details. And then I'm going to read it a second time. And as I read it a second time, I want you to pick a word, a phrase, an image, something that just sticks out to you. The Spirit is speaking to you. You don't need any explanation. You don't need any reason why. Just pick that word, phrase, or image. And I'm going to ask for some feedback. And then I'm going to read it a third time. And I want you to kind of figure out, what is the Spirit speaking to you today? How might the Spirit be talking to you? What is the Spirit saying about your particular life? And how might you interact with this parable and the meaning of it? Okay? So here's the first one. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. We've read this part. Here's the rest of the parable. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words: God, I thank you I'm not like everyone else. Crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I receive. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes towards heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, God, show mercy to me, a sinner. So get the details. I give you about 10 seconds, and I'm going to read it again. Okay. I'm going to read it again. Pick a word, phrase, or image that sticks out to you. So two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words: God, I thank you I'm not like everyone else. Crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I receive. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to look towards heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, God, show mercy to me, a sinner. So take 30 seconds, meditate on that word, phrase, or image. Okay, so over here, what word, phrase, or image do you guys have? Shout it out. Distance, yeah? Pride and humility. What else? Mercy? That makes it really nice for the song, yeah. Any others? Sinner. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go to center aisle. What words? Mercy, yeah. It can be the same one, it's okay. Oh, hold on. Even the tax collector. Sinner. What is it? I. Okay, yeah. Any others? wouldn't even lift his eyes. Yeah. Yeah. What? Prayed about himself. Yeah. Over here. Mercy. Sinner. Pray. Yeah. Have mercy. Ooh, there's some distinction there. Yeah. That's deep. Okay. So we're going to read it a third time. And it can, you can pick out a different word, a different meaning. It's okay. As you read these, they begin to speak to you a little differently. The more you read it, the more things you notice. So I'm going to read it a third time. And I want you to think about the meaning of this parable for you. What sticks out? What is this parable speaking to your spirit? And how might you apply it? And I'm going to give you 30 seconds afterwards to meditate on it. So, two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words, "God, I thank you I'm not like everyone else, crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I receive." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to look toward heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, "God, show mercy to me, a sinner." So meditate with this for 30 seconds. Okay, so I'm going to invite you to take out your scorecard again. And as you've heard this story, I want to ask, is the Pharisee good or bad? And raise your cards. Okay, bad. We got one good over here. It's okay. Yeah. So you're iffy, okay? Good, bad, good. Okay. Put them down. What about the tax collector? Is he good or bad? Looking over here. Some goods, bad. Iffy, yeah. Yeah. Tax, IRS has to say good. Iffy. Yeah, iffy. Okay, we got some goods, some bads. Good. We got one bad. Okay, you can put those down. And we're going to deal with them in a little bit. Okay. So when I read this story, I've been preparing for these for like 6 or 7 weeks, so they've been sitting with me. But when I first read this story, and I let it marinate, and I do this meditation on my own too. So when I was doing it, immediately I connected with the tax collector and just wanted to rail against the Pharisee. Did anybody have that experience? Yeah, okay, we have one. Yeah, I wanted to rail against the Pharisee because who are you that you are this righteous indignation? Yeah, you tell them. That's what I thought. Who are you that you are the priest? You are the guy that's supposed to be caring for others, but in reality, you are there not even standing next to the tax collector. I mean, thank God I'm not like the evildoers or the adulterers. Ugh, that kills me. And he's giving 10% of everything he has, and he's fasting, and he's still doing that. Why? And immediately my sermon was going to be, we are like the Pharisees sometimes. Why do we fast? Why do we tithe? Why do we come to church? Why are you a part of a Sunday school class? Why are you a part of a small group? Why are you even here? Are you here because you want to pump yourself up? You want to be self-righteous? I was like, I can't stand that guy. But then these parables, when I tell you they're a mirror for me, they're a mirror. Because I begin to say, oh, what does that make me? I'm aligning myself with the Pharisee who is judging the tax collector. Oh, and my heart just broke. I'm railing against this Pharisee for what he's doing, and what am I doing? Exactly what I'm railing against. Oh, and it killed me because I was aligning myself with the Pharisee. Luke talks about judging a little earlier in his gospel in Luke chapter 6. And he says this. This is a very familiar part of the story. How can you think of saying, "Friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see the past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Yeah. When we judge, we have that log in our eye. Now, what makes this more interesting is the Greek word for log there is dakos. And what dakos is the main column that you have that holds up a building or your house or a stadium or something like this, a baseball field. And it's the main column. And you know, if you get that terrible seat that's right behind the pillar, you can't see anything of what's going on. That's what happens when you judge. That's what happens when you deal with this dakos. You can't see what's happening in your own life. You can't see what's happening within your own game. You can't see where God is actually working within your own life. Why? Because you have that log that's stuck in your eye. You have that log that blocks your vision from what's actually going on. Sometimes we get so preconceived, I get so caught up in what others are doing. We get so caught up in this person is like this and this person is like that and that person really needs some help and that person is just a snob. But what is that? What is Jesus telling us? Take the log out of your own eye. I mean, think about it. It's easy to judge. It really is. I mean, you see somebody that might be out of overweight, out of shape, you're like, man, they should have taken care of themselves. Yeah, hey, they should have taken care of themselves. Or maybe when you see somebody that is really rich and wealthy and they spend their money on whatever they want, you might be saying, man, they should take care of their money a little better. Or maybe you see somebody that is a superior to you, that they worked really hard for that. And what do you say? Man, you need to get a life. You shouldn't work that hard. You know, we see people who are inferior to us, and it's so easy to judge them. It's easy. It's easy. Whether they're inferior or superior to us. And we're right in the middle. We're perfect every time. It's so easy to judge. But you know what's harder? The hard thing to do is to take that log out of your eye, to take the dakos out, to not judge, to not rail against the Pharisee, to not rail against the Pharisee. Now, the end of this